Court holds that insured's failure to disclose foreclosure proceeding and policy application did not constitute misrepresentation, as this information was not clearly requested. The case is Hiscox Dedicated Corporate Member Limited versus Taylor, case number 21-3534, 8th Circuit, November 15, 2022. The case is on appeal from the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Arkansas, Judge Dawson. The issue, is a homeowner's policy rescindable for misrepresentation if, while a foreclosure proceeding was pending, the insured answered the policy application question of whether applicant had a foreclosure in the negative? Holding, no. The meaning of foreclosure is ambiguous and therefore to be construed against the insurer. Summary of the case. Susan Taylor applied for an insurance policy by filling out an industry standard form to be submitted by an agent to the Lloyd's of London marketplace. The application included a question that asked, in all capital letters, if the applicant had a foreclosure, repossession, bankruptcy, or filed for bankruptcy during the last 5 years. 6 days before filling out her application, her mortgagee had filed a notice of default and intention to sell, which set a specific date and time when it planned to sell Taylor's home. Moreover, she apparently was aware of the action as an attorney working on her behalf had communicated with the mortgagee regarding the matter. Nonetheless, Taylor answered the relevant question in the negative. She and her mortgagee eventually settled the matter and the home was not sold. Hiscox issued Taylor a policy. Because this was a policy obtained on the Lloyd's of London marketplace, technically it is a bit more complicated than that. However, Hiscox essentially stands in the shoes of an insurer. About 6 months into the life of the policy, Taylor's home burned down. In the course of the investigation, Hiscox learned of the foreclosure proceeding. It then rescinded the policy and brought a declaratory judgment action. Taylor counterclaimed for breach of contract, bad faith, and improper rescission. The district court determined that under the circumstances, the application question could clearly only be answered truthfully by an affirmative response. Accordingly, it granted summary judgment in favor of the insurer. Quote, both parties eventually moved for summary judgment on whether Taylor's response to the application's question about foreclosure was a material misrepresentation, entitling Hiscox to rescind the policy as a matter of law. In siding with Hiscox, the district court held that the question was unambiguous because the filing of the foreclosure against the residents obviously constituted a foreclosure. It explained that the property was in the process of being foreclosed upon, and that fact should have been disclosed on the application, even if Taylor's plan was to cure her default. End of quote. As at the district court level, the central question on appeal was whether a pending foreclosure action was a foreclosure as contemplated by the application. The court, in an opinion authored by Judge Arnold, began its analysis with a summary of relevant Arkansas law. Quote, Arkansas substantive law applies in this diversity case, and under that law, an insurer may rescind an insurance policy if the policyholder made a material misrepresentation on the application, even if the misrepresentation is unrelated to the loss sustained. Insurance policies are interpreted in favor of the insured and strictly against the insurer, a rule that the parties appear to presume applies, we think correctly under Arkansas law, to applications for insurance as well. So where the language used is ambiguous, or there is doubt or uncertainty as to its meaning, and it is fairly susceptible of two interpretations, one favorable to the insured and the other favorable to the insurer, the former will be adopted. But where the language is clear and unambiguous, courts must apply the policy as written and not rewrite it to favor the insured. End of quote. Overruling the district court, the panel held that foreclosure was ambiguous, as it is sometimes used to refer to a proceeding intended to allow a mortgagee to take possession of and sell a piece of realty, and sometimes it is used more narrowly, to refer only to the final sale that comes at the end of such a case. Quote, We agree with Taylor that the question is ambiguous. Under Arkansas law, we are to read the question in its plain, ordinary, and popular sense, as the common usage of terms should prevail. The term foreclosure commonly means different things depending on the context in which it appears. Sometimes people use the word foreclosure to mean the foreclosure sale itself, which is the event that terminates or forecloses someone's rights to property. The word can also reasonably mean the process leading up to that sale. End of quote. In doing so, it cited with approval an unpublished Sixth Circuit case with strikingly similar facts. Quote, "We are not alone in this view. See Provident Bank versus Tennessee Farmers Mutual Insurance Company, 234 Federal Appendix 393. There, both the homeowners and their mortgagee were listed as insureds on a home insurance policy. The insurance agreement told the mortgagee that, if the insurer denied a claim from the homeowners, that denial would not apply to a valid claim from the mortgagee if the mortgagee had notified the insurer of any foreclosure that the mortgagee was aware of before the loss. After the mortgagee initiated foreclosure proceedings against the homeowners, the home burned down and the mortgagee filed a claim with the insurer. But the insurer rejected it because the mortgagee had not told the insurer about the commencement of foreclosure proceedings. The Sixth Circuit held that the term foreclosure was ambiguous. It observed, as we do, that the word foreclosure sometimes refers simply to a foreclosure sale, and so it is capable of two reasonable interpretations and therefore is ambiguous." End of quote. Hiscox raised several arguments in opposition to the court's conclusion. For instance, Hiscox claimed that the Provident Bank Court's holding was supported by Tennessee statutory language not present here. However, the court noted that there was no indication that this language was decisive, and whatever weight it did have, it left undisturbed the overarching principle that foreclosure is used in at least two different ways. The court was also unpersuaded by Hiscox's claim that the Arkansas Code uses the broader definition of foreclosure. In addition to the fact that it does not do so consistently enough to support the conclusion that the word unambiguously means the proceeding, there was nothing in the insurance application that would render such a reading controlling. Despite the apparent factual similarities between the cases, the court rejected a district court opinion submitted by Hiscox on the basis that the parties did not actually litigate the issue of ambiguity and the analogous application question, though similar, possessed some key differences. With respect to Hiscox's argument that this information is crucial to the underwriting process, the court held simply that as important as it may be, it simply did not ask for it in the manner necessary to allow for rescission. Quote, Hiscox also points out that it was important for it to know if foreclosure proceedings had been commenced because it indicates financial distress, lack of ability to pay the mortgage, and inability to maintain the property, and the prospect of the insured losing possession and control of the property. That may well be true, but that doesn't mean that Hiscox asked her for this information or that Taylor misrepresented her circumstances. If Hiscox wanted certain information so it could make an informed insurance decision, it should have asked Taylor for it in a clear, unambiguous way. End of quote. The reception to Hiscox's final argument, that construction against the drafter should not apply to it due to the fact that it did not draft the application itself, was no warmer than that of the others, as there was no meaningful distinction between actually crafting the question and merely adopting a form. Quote, finally, Hiscox says that there's no reason to apply the typical rule that ambiguities are construed in favor of the insured because it did not draft the form in question. Rather, Taylor and her agent selected this industry standard accord application to submit to Hiscox. But Hiscox admitted that it regularly used the form in question and relied upon it. In fact, it appears to have conceded, or at least did not dispute at the appropriate time, that it required applicants to submit an accord form or something similar. The rule about construing ambiguities in favor of the insured applies not only when the insurer drafts the words in question, but also when it chooses those words. On this record, we think Hiscox chose the relevant language on the subject of foreclosures by prodding applicants to submit this very form, and so the ambiguity should be resolved in Taylor's favor. End of quote. Accordingly, the court reversed and remanded. However, it did so with instructions to the district court to rule on the insurer's other summary judgment arguments, which, as is often the case when a case is decided based on a particular ground, apparently did not receive formal rulings in the first instance. End of decision.